Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. It is wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to know that that blood has covered our sin. Oh, yes, that we have been forgiven our past, our trespasses, those things that we couldn't blot out no matter how hard we tried of our own self. The Lord made a way, didn't he, so that we could come to him and know that he would take care of that sin problem. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of that first chapter of Isaiah here, just for a start here. There in Isaiah 1, verse 18, where it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And you know, you could wonder, you know, sin and its blots and oh, how the impact it makes upon our life and how it, you know, ruins that which was, you know, with once without sin, you know, that perfect world that was before there was sin in this world. And you know, you could wonder, you know, when there's a big old ink splot on something, how hard is it to remove that ink splot? You know, it just, you know, some of that indigo ink from the past, and maybe not so much used at this point, but you know, wow, pretty hard to remove. And that's what sin is like. And you know, that big old, just a big old splot of indigo ink that's, you know, there. And who could remove it? You know, you could try all the Fuller soap in the world and perhaps never remove it at all. But the blood of Jesus Christ, oh, praise the Lord, that way that he made, oh my, that even though our sins would be as scarlet, that they could be as white as snow and as red as crimson, they could be as wool. Praise the Lord. That is quite an amazing thing there. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we've had quite a thing. There may be a possibility of tornadoes out there. I heard such a rumor. I know it's been very strange, kind of warm today, it seemed like, when I walked outside, and despite the fact I'm a winter coat. God only knows. But I know the sky looked kind of funny, and I know Evelyn, oh, our dear sister in the Lord in Georgia, said that she'd heard that there was a possibility in this area, and I don't know, but anyway, we'd be few here tonight, but the Lord is here, amen. Praise the Lord, and he's with us regardless, you know, if the wind is raging, and you know, the sky as dark as can be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you, God, that we could come boldly before thy throne. We thank you for your word that you've given us, Lord. And oh, God, the way that you made that we might be forgiven our trespasses, that we might be forgiven our sins, Lord, that we might come boldly before thy throne, Lord. Have an audience with thee, Lord. Oh, God, that ability to confess our sin. Oh, Lord, and to be forgiven, Lord. And knowing that, oh, Lord, there is nothing too dark for you to blot out, Lord. Nothing too stained, oh, Lord, that you can't remove. Oh, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your finished work of Calvary, Lord. What you did, oh, Lord, that we might obtain eternal life. Pray that you work here tonight, that you work in our hearts, that this word would have free course, Lord, that you'd use this word. Oh, God, for you know the times that we live in. Oh, God, you know the seasons. Oh, God, you know the need of this hour, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, these words not fall to the ground, but I pray that you'd use these words. Oh, God, that you'd have your way, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd bind the strong man. Oh, everything that would seek to hinder, Lord. Give us, oh, Lord, that freedom in thee, Lord, to worship thee, to call upon thee. Oh, God, to put our hope, our trust in thee. We ask this in Jesus' name, oh, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. I know I need you, Lord. Let these words, oh, Lord, be of thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go to Micah again tonight and see how the Lord directs this. We're going to be looking at the fifth chapter of Micah, and this is quite an amazing little book. And, you know, I realized today I just happened to open up the Kudus, and or actually, I guess one of those handbooks in reality, and realize that typically people take these scriptures that I hold so dear and use them towards a millennial type of concept, and I don't see that at all. And oh my, there might be lots of things that we can eventually get into, but let's see how the Lord would direct tonight. You know, let's look at the first here, at the second chapter, Micah, and verse 12, because it seems to me that this whole book is talking about the gathering of remnant of Israel, and there is much confusion in this area. You know, yes, the northern tribes were carried off by the Assyrians, and we probably will be talking about the Assyrians a wee bit tonight. And then, you know, down the road, several years later, over 100 years, Nebuchadnezzar came into Judah, and that was also destroyed and taken over by the Babylonians. But there was going to be a regathering, and that regathering had been promised. It was promised in Jeremiah chapter 25, in Jeremiah chapter 29, and that was the first regathering of God's people. And then there is another regathering, and I believe that is the reference here in Micah 2, verse 12, the second regathering, when, by the grace of God, God is calling forth his people that second time. He's bringing forth a new covenant in his blood, and he's gathering the remnant of Israel. And it's not just one specific group of people, but it's a gathering for all tribes and nations, kindreds and people. And, you know, I believe that it started at Pentecost. Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus was bringing it forth when he came to this world and began to present the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, to the people. And that's what he was teaching. They were going forth to every city in that area to bring forth the teaching of the kingdom. And then, yes, the promise was, yes, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That promise of the Holy Ghost that was to come upon them. Because now God was going to put his spirit within a people. He was going to move within his people. That your sons and your daughters should prophesy. Your old man should dream dreams. Your young man should see visions. And on my handmaidens and upon my servants, he was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And I love how the Lord had gathered all those people together there at Pentecost. And here I believe this 12th verse in Micah 2 talks about it. It says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of a multitude of men. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, it got a little noisy on the day of Pentecost. It got a little noisy as the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them, oh yes, the words, the evidence, as it came forth, as yes, he was bringing it forth from each of them as individuals, and the marvel of it is they could all hear those that had gathered together, and there were people from all parts of the world that were gathered there on that occasion. And they could hear those that were filled with the Holy Ghost, those 120 that had been in the upper room, each speaking their own native tongues. And what a marvel it was. Oh, yes, miracle of God as he was bringing forth that new covenant, as he was beginning to gather the remnant of Israel. Or, you know, it's still in progress right now. The Lord is still gathering his people as the sheep of Bozrah. He's still gathering them. And praise the Lord, these many years later, these 2,000 years later, here we are, part of that gathering. And one of these days, it's going to be complete. That fold is going to be complete. And the Lord is going to put in his sickle and gather his people. Oh, yes, they're going to come. Oh, from all parts of the world. Oh, what a day that is going to be. Oh, yes, when he puts in that sickle and suddenly the earth is reaped. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said in Luke the 13th chapter, in verse 29, he said, "And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." But yes, when it's all complete, the Lord puts in the sickle and reaps this earth. Oh my, we don't know. You know, by the looks of things right now, I would say that we are close to the end. All those disgusting things that happened in Washington the last week, and all the goings on, all the commotion, oh my, all the nonsense. Oh yes, the talk of civil war. I tell you, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. But praise the Lord, our hope, our confidence must be in the Lord Jesus, the one who has gathered us together and will continue to gather until his fold is complete. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. There's all kinds of strange things going on, and I hear lots of rumors. But, you know, our life is in the hands of God, and he knows how to help us. He knows how to repair us. And, oh, yes, if we can just learn to listen to that still, small voice of God that speaks to our heart, that speaks to our soul. Oh, yes, that tells us, oh, yes, what to do, how to think, where to go. All those things that we need so desperately to know from the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Micah chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." And of course, yes, there was a lot going on here at this time. And you know, there was judgment that was forthcoming in the land of Israel, the land of Judah. And yes, there's an utterance here that he had laid siege against us. So there was an enemy that came up against them and would come up, who would smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And, you know, Samaria fell in the year 721 B.C. and in Jerusalem fell in 587 B.C. And, you know, it was taken over. And, you know, after the time of the Babylonians was over, well, then we had the Medes and the Persians coming into the scene. And yes, then we had the Greek Empire come into the fold and you know, rule the world. And then the Romans. But in the midst of the Romans, a wonderful thing happened. And here, we can read of it in verse 2 here in Micah chapter 5. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, that's a wonderful utterance here that was declared all these many years before Jesus Christ was born. But it tells us specific details here. That little town of Bethlehem, Though I was a small little town among the thousands of Judah, yet out of Bethlehem was going to come the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that had been promised for all those years, he that is to be ruler in Israel. And I love how it explains it here, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Of course, doesn't that go along well with Isaiah 9, verse 56? Oh yes, also that description is given of a forthcoming Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 there in Isaiah 9 declares of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh yes, that prophetic utterance that was made all those many years of the child that would be born, the son that would be given, the government. Oh, a spiritual government that would be upon his shoulder. His name being called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yeah, that kind of goes along with Micah 5 too. You know, he whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, oh, he who was and always will be, oh yes, coming forth as ruler in Israel, but born as a babe, as we know in a manger there in Bethlehem. Oh, praise the Lord, all those things, and you know, bringing forth a government, a period of time where there would be no end. And praise the Lord, Jesus established the kingdom of God. And oh yes, it's gone forth ever since that time. And you know, this kingdom that we are in, if we are the children of God, there is no end to it. It's for now and it's for all eternity. Praise the Lord, it is established with judgment and with justice, not like those kingdoms of the world at this point at all. Nothing like that at all. But upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, you know, established upon precept. Here a little, there a little. You know, the counsel of God, you know, piece by piece, it was put together and declared. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what our God did. And all those declarations, oh yes, that sign that was given in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Praise the Lord, Emmanuel means God with us. Praise the Lord, and this prophetic utterance, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Praise the Lord. We know that it was fulfilled. And of course, you know, if we go to Matthew, the 2nd chapter, we see how it was, how Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. How he came forth, just as he was declared to come forth. But praise the Lord, there was a star that appeared in the east. And the scripture in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, tells after Jesus was born, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and he was laid in a manger, and his name was called Jesus, the one who had been declared that would save his people from their sins. Jesus means Hoshua, Savior, the one that would save his people from their sins. So So at the moment of this glorious event, we know that God put a star in the sky. And yes, there in the east, there are wise men. Men of importance, far, far away from Jerusalem, who saw that star and realized that that star indicated that a king was born that day. And so, yes, it was in their hearts. God had put it in their hearts to seek out that child. And you know, it wasn't just three, as tradition tries to declare. Oh, there were many, many wise men that came on the scene there, that came forth at this moment, that traveled together, I would say, in a caravan. In fact, it's described in Isaiah the 60th chapter, and it talks, oh boy, that sixth verse there, the whole thing here, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Oh, God had called them to come forth. Oh, yes. Again, prophetic utterance. The darkness had covered the earth in gross darkness, the people. But the Lord arose at the scene, didn't he? His glory, it said, shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And I believe that's all that's, you know, this was declared there in the 60th chapter of Isaiah. And here in the second chapter of Matthew, we see them coming forth. And they, you know, they didn't have specific instructions, but, you know, they knew that star indicated that a king was born in Israel. So they went to the capital. They went to Jerusalem to, you know, find that king. And, you know, it says, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And I don't know how it was. They maybe went from person to person, just trying to, you know, inquire, find out somebody who knew something. But obviously the word got to Herod. It says in verse 3 here in Matthew 2, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And you know, it must have been quite a stir as all these dromedaries came upon the scene. All these kings from the east came upon the scene. And you know, Herod was troubled, and it says all Jerusalem with him. And so there he is, he's scrambling to figure this out. And it tells us in verse 4 here in Matthew 2, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So, praise the Lord, it had been declared in Micah the 5th chapter, verse 2. And, you know, that's what they searched out. Well, they had to find out, you know, where would the king, you know, that was to be born? Where would the Messiah be found? And isn't it amazing how God had put that specific word in the scripture, the prophetic utterances there of Micah? And it was declared very specifically that Micah, that Bethlehem, even though it was small, among the thousands of Judah, out of that area would come he who was to be ruler of Israel. Praise the Lord. And of course we know that, you know, Herod, he feigned to, you know, want to also come and worship the child that was born, but that wasn't in his heart at all. And, you know, his intention was that he was going to kill that child. But the Lord had it all under control, didn't he? And you know, when those magi had found, you know, the place to look, you know, they went forward. But, you know, that star that had appeared to them in the east appeared again. And they were so happy because the star led them to the place where the young child was. And praise the Lord, they came and worshiped that young child. And you know, I don't know, Jesus could have been at that time, he could have been a toddler, he could have been one or 2 years old or so. You know, some time had passed because it took, you know, these men from the east a good deal of time to get to Jerusalem. But they found him. The star led them to the place, to the house where the young child with Mary, his mother, was, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh, what a moment that must have been. The Lord taking care of all the details and then warning them that they should not return to Herod. They departed back to their own country another way. And of course, then instructions was given to Joseph that he should arise and take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt till God would again bring word to Joseph, for Herod would seek the young child to destroy him. And oh my, there's so much more we could say, but they obeyed and went forth and went into Egypt until that time that they were called back. And then they went to Nazareth. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, that it was a fulfillment of Micah 5:2. And what a marvel it was. Oh, what God has proclaimed surely will come to pass. And then it tells us in verse 3 here in Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So there was going to be a time, and we know that, you know, once Judah was carried off to Babylon and other places besides, that, you know, there was no more king in Israel. And so it was as a time forsaken, you could say. But you know the promise, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Okay, so I believe that is talking about the time that Mary would bring forth the Christ child, Jesus Christ, that the Messiah would be born. And then it says, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And I noticed the word remnant. It's all over in Scripture. And, you know, it's not that everyone that saw Jesus Christ realized that he was the Christ. In fact, far, far from it. You know, it seems like particularly the religious folks, the ones who should have known, the ones that, you know, should have a scripture in their hearts and known specifically that Jesus fulfilled those prophetic utterances, rejected Jesus for the most part. But there were only a few, there was only a remnant that would return, it says here, unto the children of Israel. You can go to a few places to just bear out this point. Go to Isaiah again. This time, the 11th chapter. And let's look at verse 10 here. And it begins by saying, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Oh, praise the Lord. So I believe this is talking about that second time. Yes, you know, there was that first time when there was that coming back to the land of Judah by those that were called back after the Babylonian captivity. And praise the Lord, at that time the temple was rebuilt. The walls had been rebuilt. The Lord took care of all of that. He provided the means, you know. He used, you know, Cyrus, Darius to you know, help with the essentials that were needed to bring it all back, to bring the people back, to, you know, build up the walls. And then as time passed, then eventually that temple was built. And it all happened. That was, you know, the first recovery. But there was another call that was going to come forth that second time, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people. Those that the Lord our God shall call. Those who were left, and it's just not from one place. It says from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, islands of the sea. He set up like a banner. I believe it was like something that they could feel in their spirit. Oh, yes, to be seen. That they would know to assemble. And we know, as we spoke of it, you know, these past weeks, you know, there, a time of feast day of Pentecost, where they were assembled together in that one place at that time when, yes, the Lord was going to pour out of his spirit. But what was he going to do? It was for the nations, and he was going to assemble the outcasts of Israel. Oh, gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And interesting here, it says the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. There was a competitive spirit between, you know, the northern and southern kingdoms, but, you know, it says that's going to depart, that envy, that, you know, that competitive spirit. And it says in verse 14, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. In other words, the barriers were going to be broken down, and the Lord was going to bring them regardless of barriers that formerly had been. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that it came up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord making a way so that they could cross into the place that they needed to go, whether they were coming from the east or from the west or whatever, the Lord bringing forth a highway that would bring them. It's, you know, a highway, it tells us, of holiness. Also in Isaiah, that declaration there in the 35th chapter of Isaiah talks about the highway that the Lord would bring forth also. And oh, this is also, you can see how in Isaiah 35, this all relates to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is quite a wonderful portion of scripture. It says here in verse 4 of Isaiah 35, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh yes, coming the second time, or coming to fulfill, to gather his, you know, for the second regathering is what I mean here. Coming to seek it to save his people. This was, you know, the first coming of Jesus Christ. But it describes it here in verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And here it describes a highway. Verse 8, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The Lord making a highway of holiness for his people. It would be a highway that those that are unclean would not pass over. It would be a highway that no ravenous beast would go up upon, not found at all, but instead the redeemed of the Lord, all those who were the called, those who were the remnant, would find that highway of holiness. Yes, and it would be, you know, that parched ground would become a pool in the thirsty land, springs of water. Oh, yes, he's talking about the Holy Ghost that Jesus declared. Oh, yes, there in the 7th chapter of John, verse 37, another feast day. Tells us in verse 37, in John 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it so clearly tells us in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It all had to be in order. All those details had to follow according to the plan of God, the fulfillment of prophecies. But praise the Lord, he declared that, you know, for those that believed upon him, oh, yes, that there would be rivers of living water that would, oh, enter into their very being. Oh, that would come out of their innermost being, out of their belly, so to speak. Those rivers of living water would flow. And it tells us so clearly that he was speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that would be poured out upon the believers. It had not yet happened at that point. Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not ascended into the heaven. He was not yet glorified. And it could not yet be poured out. But praise the Lord. You know, he told them, you know, that, you know, he told them that he was not going to leave them comfortless, didn't he? You know, he said in the 14th chapter of John, Brother Samuel's favorite chapter, I think, says, and I will pray the Father in verse 16, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord, those rivers of living water would come into the innermost being. He would fill us with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, in the time of the prophets, the Holy Ghost would come upon them and they would prophesy. But now with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and oh yes, there would be no respecter of persons. You know, it would be for whosoever the Lord our God shall call. Oh yes, male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or free, they all could be recipients of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But yes, he was going to come and put his spirit within our being. Oh yes, we know that he gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary. He gave it up, that ghost, that spirit departed from Jesus. But praise the Lord, he sent it back on the day of Pentecost, that we would not be left comfortless, but that, oh yes, he would come to us and dwell, that he would be in us. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, and it tells us in verse 26 here in John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord, the plan of God. Oh, yes, it distressed them to think that, you know, Jesus was going to believe in them, that he, you know, he wasn't going to walk with them in person anymore. But, you know, all of those reassurances. Oh, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to come and dwell in your innermost beings. Those rivers of living water are going to flow within you. Praise the Lord. And yes, that parched ground that it talks about in Isaiah 35 was going to come forth. Oh, that parched ground, it was not only going to just, oh, it was going to soon become a pool. Oh yes, as the Spirit of God fell, oh, that living water began to fall. And oh yes, that which was dry, that which was barren, that which was empty, oh, that which needed help indeed, would soon become so parched that it would become a pool. Oh yes, the thirsty land springs of water. Oh, everything would change in the life of the believers because the Spirit of the living God came to dwell. Oh yes, came to call us, came to redeem us. He would bring forth his remnant, the ransom of the Lord that would return to the living God and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And you know, oh yes, it goes on for all eternity, doesn't it? Oh yes, so that all that is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord, that remnant of his brethren that shall return, as it tells us in Micah, the 5th chapter. And then it tells us in verse 4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. Oh yes, abide in me and I in you. You know, we need, yes, to abide in the Lord. That, you know, without him we can do nothing. But praise the Lord, when the Holy Ghost indwells in us, we can abide in Jesus and he in us. Praise the Lord. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Now shall he be great until the ends of the earth. Yes, with this coming forth, with that travail. Yes, that child that was brought forth, that one that they called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. He that was to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He who would call forth his people, his remnant unto himself. Oh, yes, it tells, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Let's look at Isaiah 49 for a moment here. If we look at Isaiah 49 and look at verse 40s, look at verse 6, Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. See how that goes along with Micah 5:4? Praise the Lord. That promise of the Messiah who was going to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore. And notice it says the preserved of Israel. And oh, there's so many places I could go. The book of Romans has much to say. You know, the remnant of the Lord our God called those that were the preserved of Israel. And then, plus, you know, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation until the end of the earth. Okay, so the arm of God. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ as the arm of God, reaching out to all those that he would call, all those that were reserved unto salvation, even unto the end of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, that's a terrific portion of scripture here. But you know, the Lord was going to bring forth his salvation, raising up the tribes of Jacob, those that were the parts of the remnant, and restoring the preserved of Israel, and then the light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. And he makes it clear that, you know, he's talking about that time when he was going to bring forth his new covenant. It says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Oh, there's so much I could say here. You know, Jesus was despised and rejected, a man, you know, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, it tells us in Isaiah 53. But, you know, it says, to whom the nation abhorreth, but yet to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Oh, we talked about the kings that came from the east. Oh, yes, to see the Christ child that was born. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Oh yes, the fullness of the time. And you know, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, also brings forth these words. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And you know, the Lord was bringing it forth. He was going to preserve his remnant so that, yes, the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer could be born. And it had to be of the seed of David and all those other things that were declared. So, yes, at that acceptable time, the day of salvation, it all came forth, the Lord bringing it forth to give thee for a covenant of the people. Oh, yes, that new covenant that he would bring forth in his new blood, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Oh, man. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Oh, he was going to come, yes, to bring out the prisoners, those that were in bonds, those, oh, yes, that needed deliverance, that needed the power of God. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, showing those devils that were hiding in those places. But the Lord, oh, yes, coming forth to bring the prisoners out, to bring salvation to his people. And it says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, by those springs of water. You see that again, that living water that would come forth. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, that promise that he was going to show his salvation unto the end of the earth, or the ends, as it says in Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 4. You know, what it indicates here is this regathering, that God was going to bring forth those preserved people that he was going to bring forth. If we go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, we can see specifically that seed that was promised to Abraham, that seed was singular. That seed was one. God was going to bring forth a people. He was going to bring forth his church. And it was of Christ. Let's just look at some of this here in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Paul had a little trouble with the people of Galatia because it seemed that they were trying to go back to the ways of the law. And isn't it interesting, at this time period, it seems that there's that same trend. But, you know, it was not the plan of God. Paul wrote here in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" You know, these people had a Pentecostal experience, so to speak. They had been participants of, you know, the new covenant, it seems, from what is declared here. But having begun in the Spirit, you know, it's a trend there that they wanted to go back to the flesh. And how can you, if you've begun in the Spirit, are you going to go back to the way of the flesh? Are you going to go back to the law and be made perfect? Paul asks in verse 4, "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain?" I mean, you know, he can't believe it that, you know, they want to go back to the law. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And, you know, it's so interesting, Romans, the 4th chapter, you know, it makes it clear that, you know, Abraham received the promises of God before he was circumcised. He received that promise before the time of the law. So interesting. And that point is made very clearly in Romans, the 4th chapter. But here it also relates to Abraham. Verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Oh yes, that promise wasn't exclusive to one nation, to one people. You know, it was promised that in him, in Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. And it goes on to say in verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Oh, that law had to be followed to precision. You couldn't omit one part and be right. And there was a curse connected with that. Oh, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. There was a curse connected. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But explained in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Oh, yes, we put on Christ. And oh, he begins to work in us so that, you know, his law is written in our inward man. It's written in our heart so we know the things that we need to know in order to live a holy and overcoming life by the grace of God. So therefore, it says in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, we've been set free. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, yes, it was declared in Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, that, oh, there was a curse, you know, connected with those that were hung on a tree. But Jesus Christ there in obtaining our salvation was taking that curse upon himself. He was freeing us by taking that curse upon himself. Why? It says in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, that blessing of Abraham. Oh, that we might be endued with that power from on high. Oh, yes, through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, yes, we're saved by faith, not by works. And then it goes on to say, brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. And that is so important. You could add to that which was written, and you couldn't take away. And so it is with God's word, even to this day. But it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So, you know, it all pertained to Christ. Oh, that seed that had to be preserved so that one could come forth of the seed of David, you know. Oh, coming forth from the bowels of Abraham over, the, you know, the years. And it be born to redeem us. Reborn, born to take away that curse that was upon us. And it tells us in verse 17, of this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Oh, yes, the fulfillment of that which was given to Abraham before the time of the law. Oh, praise the Lord, that which was given to him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that all nations would be blessed through faithful Abraham. It says in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. See, there's a conflict here. If you're living in the law, then you're not living in the covenant of promise. So it says, for if inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay, so yes, the law served a time, it served a purpose. It was added because of transgression until the perfect one would come, the Lord Jesus would come, oh yes, to fulfill our righteousness. Oh yes, he would come as it was ordained. by angels in the hand of a mediator who is going to come forth as a mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, to make intercession for us. Oh, yes, so that we could obtain atonement by the gift of God. And it says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? You know, is there a conflict between the law and the promises of God? It says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. There would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come forth if the law would have been perfect, if we would have obtained righteousness through the law. But it says in verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Praise the Lord. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. It was all looking forward to Jesus Christ, the one who should come, the seed of Abraham. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. See, he's making it really clear that we are not under the works of the law. It says in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And it's explained in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, the need to be buried in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, because, oh yes, not only do we go in the water and under the water as, yes, we are taken down in the name of Jesus Christ, but we put on Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, those sins are remitted in those waters of baptism, and we rise to walk in newness of life, and we have put on Christ. Oh, yes, all those old things in our life, all those sins, all those transgressions, all that confusion, all those things of the past are taken. Oh, yes, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, yes, all things become new, don't they? By the blood of Jesus Christ, through the remission of sins. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. It says again, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And the conclusion here, verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, praise the Lord, the plan of God. Oh, yes, that he would take that curse, oh, upon himself. Oh, yes, so that we could be redeemed, so we would have to be under that bondage, we would have to be under that curse, so that we could be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that one, oh, yes, who atoned for our sin. Praise the Lord. Going here to Romans, the 9th chapter, for a few verses. Here Paul is writing, and you know, he had a great desire that his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, could be brought to Jesus Christ. And you know, he's bringing it out, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Yes, Jesus Christ came unto his own. He was a Jewish individual by birth. But you know, he was going to, involve a salvation, not just for one particular people, but for all kindreds and tongues and nations and people. Praise the Lord. As concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. And then verse 6 here in Romans 9, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. And here's a very clear thing that often isn't realized. You know, we know there was, you know, a man, Billy Graham by name, who, you know, had made comments that, you know, Jews could be saved without Jesus Christ. That's not true. It says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. No, he was going to call a remnant out of Israel according to the election of grace. And he explains in verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. You know, you were not going to be automatically included in the new covenant because of race, because of gender, because of your background, because of being, you know, the natural seed of Abraham. Are they all children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh yes, there was a difference between Isaac and Esau. Yes, they had the same parents. But, you know, it was written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And, you know, that was according to the election of grace. But God who calls, God who selects, God who chooses. And it says in verse 8 here, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But here it is, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You see that need. Oh, Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him by night, that great need to be born again. Oh, yes, if we look there, in the book of John, the 3rd chapter, this man who came to Jesus by night, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus answered and said unto him, John, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he's going to say it again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus was foretelling all that need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, it wasn't going to be possible by the natural routes. You could just presume that you were part of the kingdom of God because of your background, because of your name, because, you know, of your heritage. No. It's those, yes, that have entered in to this covenant of grace. Oh, those that which have been born again of the water and of the Spirit that enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Romans 9, verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, it's not going to be possible. But there was a new birth that was absolutely essential. Oh, yes, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Oh, the promise that Jesus proclaimed as he walked this earth. Oh, yes. Oh, as he declared that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So he talked to them of a Holy Ghost that would come upon them. And that great need, he called it the promise of a Father that would come upon them. Oh, yes. so that they could be born again. Oh yes, just as Jesus had declared to Nicodemus, oh yes, that wind, it blows where it will, where it listeth. You know, you can hear the sound of it, but you can't see it. You cannot tell whence it cometh and whether it goes, you know, whether it goeth. You know, we can see the effects of the wind. I can hear it today. But praise the Lord, there's a sound that comes forth when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes. Oh, when that promise of the Father comes upon us, yes, there's a sound that comes forth. Oh, yes, as we receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord was going to bring forth a remnant. Oh, that he would call forth. He was going to be gracious, it tells us in Micah, the 5th chapter. Oh, yes, unto the ends of the earth. And is it no wonder that Peter there on the day of Pentecost, oh, yes, when they were pricked in their heart. Oh, yes, when they felt the convicting power of God come upon them and they realized that they had crucified Jesus. But, oh, yes, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost now, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he went on to say, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, that promise, that new covenant. Oh, yes, that calling forth of the remnant was going to be for the complete family of God. Oh, you know, Jew and Greek, male and female, bond or free, it wasn't going to matter. We all could be recipients and heirs of the promise of God. And praise the Lord, yes, that promise that was made, oh yes, that travail that was made forth. Oh yes, as Jesus came forth into the world, he came forth with that specific mission. Oh yes, to save them that were lost. Oh yes, to bring forth salvation. Oh yes, the Redeemer that should come forth unto Israel. Oh yes, bringing forth his salvation and the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, that call to the remnant, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh yes, even great unto the ends of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord, our mighty God, who called us forth, who brought us forth. Oh, yes, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, that we might all be the redeemed of the Lord, that we could all come forth. Oh, it says in Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our wonderful God that has redeemed us, that brought forth such a wonderful salvation that we could be his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, that we could be redeemed from the bondage of sin, from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord, that gathering together out of all the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Oh, praise the Lord. And one of these days we're all going to sit down in the kingdom of God together. Oh, percipients together there in the kingdom of God. Oh, joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord. Oh, those that were called forth, gathered as the sheep of Bozrah. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know, one more verse here. Oh, yes, what John saw there in heaven. 7th chapter, Revelation, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the falling down and the worshiping, the response, because we have been redeemed by the grace and the mercy of the Lord, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, made heirs of the promise, His Spirit put within our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could be His sons and daughters. Praise the Lord, that part of a number of people that no man could number. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 269, 269, and sing Springs of Living Water. Satisfying there I found, but to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've tried. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. Sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise the Lord. Praise. dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name. Praise God.